Welcome to the Jesus Week Movement radio broadcast, your half-hour source for gospel saturation strategies, real-life testimonies, and community-transforming conversations. Today, we're diving into the nuts and bolts of planning effective summer outreach, and who better to guide us than the mystery man behind the checklist? Hello, everyone. I'm Mick Richards.
Hi, and I'm Pastor David Bidell, and I'm really excited to have a dear friend of mine who's been serving with us passionately for the last 6 years in the Jesus Week movement and in the deep dive work we do across the North Shore of Staten Island, Chad McVann. He's an extraordinary strategic leader, honestly a miracle that God sent to us that enabled us to take all of the dreams that we've been dreaming for New York City and for some of the most challenging neighborhoods in our city and make those dreams reality. So we're so excited to have Chad with us, and you're going to hear a lot from him today about the critical nature of creating the administrative back end in order to produce the powerful outreach events that will impact your neighborhoods.
That's right. You're going to hear how to build your own summer outreach step by step. So get ready, because this isn't just theory. These are proven outreach strategies that can transform your neighborhood. So let's jump right in to this week's topic, planning your outreach. So Chad, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mick, and Pastor David. Thank you for inviting me here. Such an honor to be with you today.
Now, Chad, you have served in incredible roles throughout your ministry, from Metro World Child to Urban Hope NYC, and of course, now helping lead the Jesus Week movement across multiple cities and regions. But you have an extraordinary journey. So we want to start the show off. Just share a little bit about how your mission call started and how it led you to New York City.
No, definitely. So as you can hear, my wonderful accent, I was born in Zimbabwe during the war, and that really put me on an interesting platform. But my childhood was in South Africa when there was a great migration from the farmers leaving Zimbabwe. My family went to South Africa. So my whole childhood was in South Africa. But as you can imagine, that was also during the apartheid era. So I was exposed to very interesting dynamics of African people and how they were treated and why were they treated with such disdain, and didn't really understand that and how the church worked with that. And then, you know, went to seminary and I felt the Lord saying, I want you to go to England. I want to teach you something there. So I left my whole life really and went to England for 17 long years, crumpets and cream every day, as they say. And I worked some great organizations, Google, it's an Oracle, had my own business. And that really taught me processes. You know, when you work for a Fortune 100 company, it really teaches you how the smartest minds work and how they can turn a company into the giants that they are. And then by God's grace, that led me to come to New York in 14, and in the beginning of 14. I remember it as clear as day. It was a crazy winter. I remember the whole of Chicago had frozen over, crazy cold. And I've been working with the inner city children, which are absolute brilliant, brilliant people. Love them so much, for the last 11 years. And that's really been my story, learning and serving and helping the kingdom of God grow in the most painful areas.
Well, Chad, I remember when we first met, and you had been serving with Metro World Child, one of the largest children's outreach organizations in the world, and doing a phenomenal job there. And we still are in partnership with them, but you brought a lot of the passion and the capacity of Metro World Child. In fact, we bought two of the Yogi Bear trucks, and they've been such a blessing to our communities. But even more than that, you've been the glue behind so many efforts. Short-term missions has been a game changer in our communities. Summer camps, six-week summer camps, extraordinary outreaches, Jesus Week outreach planning, Christmas parties that served 10,000 children. Just 2 weeks ago, we served about 1,000, more than 1,000 young people.
Yes, sir.
With our spring outreaches. So you have a huge heart for children and families. We would love you to share with the radio audience, why has reaching kids become such a driving passion for you?
No, that's a great question, Pastor David. And as you know, Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, we will not depart from it. And, you know, when I first met you, Pastor Dave, and we were going to have like a 40-minute conversation that turned into 3 hours, and just having this heart for kids to teach them to read. And I'm like, where would I be if I couldn't read the Word of God and know the beautiful promises that are there, that God will never leave me nor forsake me. Mm. Call upon the Lord and He will answer. He's my captain. He will fight my battles, Exodus 14. There's just verses after verses going forward. And I'm like, we need to bring the youth in on this and love these beautiful kids that kind of just got a rotten deal in the beginning, but we can't give up on them. They're the future for that. So the SDMs, the short-term missions, is youth groups from all over the country. I come from Africa, so I have a huge heart for that. And of course, any youth group that wants to go to Africa, please do, any third world country. But don't forget, America is home, and we need you guys. And so by God's grace, we started with one, then went to two. We're having 8 youth groups come this year to help us love on the kids. One man, two men, can't love 2,000 children. It's impossible, not on an intimate one-on-one basis. We can't. We need help. So that's been a game changer for us and allowed us to reach. Like David said, you know, we did a Christmas outreach 2 years ago. 10,000 people came. 7 of them were children, 7,000. Could you imagine? That's a line that goes on for like a quarter of a mile. It's ridiculous. You have to be there to see the impact that God is doing. But these kids, the parents are crying. They're like, you don't understand. I had nothing. I had nothing. And you gave us the opportunity to give toys to my child. And then we had the privilege of praying with the mom and praying with the kids and speaking life over the family. I honestly don't know anything more special and rewarding than that.
Amen. And speaking about special and rewarding outreaches, we are now entering into the time of the Jesus Week movement when leaders and volunteers are beginning to plan their summer outreaches. And we are sure that they are going to have a lot of questions. Questions about volunteers, permits, all kinds of things that can make or break a neighborhood outreach event. So Chad, you are the outreach guru. Walk us through the early planning phase. How does a leader start? And are there any one or two non-negotiables that every outreach should have?
That's a great question, Mick. Yes, certainly there are some non-negotiables, but the answer might be quite surprising. So for me, my non-negotiables is having an attitude of it will get done. When the pastor or Pastor David says, I want this done, my attitude is yes, sir. And then I go before God and say, Lord, how do we do this? So I have to have a mindset of I'm a solution finder, I'm going to get it done. And I really do believe in the Word of God. I haven't been given a spirit of fear. And it is a bit nerve-wracking. And I'm like, well, how am I going to get this? How am I going to get the funding? How am I going to do this? How am I going to get the volunteers? And a million questions. But if I just trust in the Lord with all my heart, I know God loves these people more than I will ever love them. And I love them a lot. And with those two things, all the other dominoes just come down and we do have a successful. So for me, just having that assurance that the Lord has my back and we're going to do great things.
Amen. That's basically, if God is for us, who can be against us, is the attitude that we need. I love that you said that, because you could have went into logistics and administration and leadership development. You're saying faith breaks down every wall. And we've always had a confidence in our ministry because we know, hey, if we're working with all of our hearts to see that churches work together to bring the knowledge of Jesus to the whole city, but starting with the margins, starting with the least of these, we know that God is for us. Like, there's no question mark. Oh, does God really, is He going to help us? So we march with confidence. And for our listeners and our team, when you are doing this, you know that the armies of heaven are on your side, that somehow He's going to break through and make a way. And so that's, what a great answer, Chad. Thank you so much. But a lot of leaders and volunteers right now might be asking, what kind of outreach should we do? How do we help churches or volunteers figure out the right type of outreach for their zip code or community? We'd love to hear some of your thoughts about that.
So, you know, the three of us, we love brainstorming and coming up. And in our prayer session and discussion, God really put a wonderful nugget on our hearts. And that nugget is, where God is weeping, that's where you go. Mm-hmm. And for me, the expression of Your outreach ties in with that nugget, ties in with that wisdom. So if you feel like, man, I have a heart for kids and I want to do a VBS, a vacation Bible school, or you know what, I have a heart for the elderly, you know, and they have a story about their grandmother or something like that. We have coloring in books. We did that. And we went to a home with coloring in books and they colored in and we could share the word of God. If you have a heart for food or you have a heart for door knocking, which is such a powerful ministry to go and make new friends, that's how I say it. I say, you're going to go and find friends you've never found before, or basketball, a sports ministry, whatever your expression is, but go and pray and find that out going forward. For me, kids, I love the kids. And the great thing is kids, when they see you turn up with your heart and be like, I'm here for you, they will run over. And you know what kids bring? They bring their mom. They bring their guardian. And now you can start doing a whole family outreach and get to know them. And the great thing is all that you listeners out there have this army of resources. Whatever comes out of that conversation, we can help fulfill that. So you're not just doing a flash in the pan. You can say, hey, I need to get some Bibles. I need to get some diapers. I need to get this. I need to get that. We can help you. You're not alone. Yeah. Right? If you turn off right now, just walk away with knowing you're not alone on this journey, and you have an army of brothers and sisters that want to help you reach the most beautiful group of people that you could ever imagine.
So let's have a little bit of fun here. Okay, so we have a book that has been released. It's called Mission Wake.
Great book, by the way.
Yeah, and it really lays out the entire movement, how you build this saturation to movement, all the stories that led us to this over the 7 years of perfecting this model, and then a 12-month template. What do we do in October, November, December? And when we get to the month of June, we start looking at how to have outreaches. And in the chapter, Preparing for an Outreach, we have something that has become very popular. It's called Chad's Outreach Checklist. It's become a crowd favorite, Chad. I just want to let you know everybody loves your checklist. So let's do something fun. Let's walk through some of your top items and why each one matters. So give us in rapid fire fashion just a sentence or two for each one of these topics. What do leaders need to know? Are you ready?
Yes, sir. Go.
Okay, first one, vision and purpose.
So vision and purpose are extremely important. You need to know why. You need to know why you are doing what you are doing. You need to know where you're going. That's your vision. And you need to know your purpose. Your purpose is important, communicating to the city, communicating to your volunteers, communicating to the pastor. Sometimes you have to go to the pastor to say, like, this is what I want to do. And if you don't have a clear understanding of what you want to do, you might not be as effective in getting the answers you seek. So it's very important that you have vision and purpose.
Next topic. Permits and permissions.
Permits and permissions are important. Why? Well, John 10:10, the enemy's come to kill and destroy, but Christ, he's come to give life and life in abundance. And so when the enemy tries to stop this great work out there, you can always pull the paper out and go, hold on, I have the paperwork, I have the permit, I have the permission to be here. And that's what we've created as a complete turnkey for our listeners, that they can do these outreaches and not worry about the permits and permission. But you need to have that, because at the end of the day, the enemy will, not maybe, will try and stop you. And you need to make sure you cross all the T's and dot all the I's.
Volunteer teams.
The kingdom of God, just as Paul says, is like the body. You can't do everything. Trust me, David and I are pulling out pallets. We're on the stage. We're doing the sound. And by the end, we're dead. But as soon as you put 30, 40 volunteers in the mix, oh my goodness, people are getting prayed for. There's balloons everywhere. Everyone's having fun with the kids. There's face painting. Have you seen me do face painting? It's horrible. I'm like painting a fence. But as soon as you've got volunteers there, the kids walk out with Spider-Man and unicorns, and we have cotton candy and the joy of the Lord. And the church feels involved. The church might be like, Lord, use me. And then this wonderful opportunity to do an outreach comes along, and now they're being used. They're praying for people. They're knocking on doors. You need volunteers. And listeners, there's lots of people that want to help you. Like I said, you're not alone. You have an army of people who want to help you fulfill what God's given you on your heart.
Promoting an outreach.
promotion is so important. You need to have your flyers. You know, not everyone's going to be at home when you knock on the door. You need to have your promotion out there so people know what you are doing, where's it going to be, the date, the time. You can't just say outreach. People are going to have questions. So think, if you are on the other side of the equation, time, day, location, what's it going to be, and fun images. Images speak a lot louder than just text. So make your flyers impactful, and that would be a really good way of promoting your event.
And the final topic, follow-up strategy.
Now, this to me is key. You're going to have a big event. You're going to have 400-plus people come to your event. Think about that. That's a lot of people. But what's the point if you're never going to see them again? You need to have a registration table. You need to have some sort of way of grabbing that information in a quick, concise fashion. You can't have the person waiting half an hour because you're asking about their family tree line. You know, just some 6-7 fields of information, and then you let them in. But the great thing is, now you can go and visit. Now you can call them. You can tell them what's happening in the church. We're having a barbecue on summer, 4th of July, whatever it might be. You can even, as you build that relationship, find out their birthdays, bring them a birthday cake, but you need to have the follow-up. If you do not do follow-up, then your effectiveness is just going to be limited on that one day. And then you've missed this beautiful opportunity. You need to have a follow-up strategy.
You know, that was great, Chad. I think we really need to turn this into an official Jesus Week game show, Pastor David, at our retreats, at our workshops, because yeah. I see something formulating
Jeopardy
here.
Board. We can figure that out.
Yeah. Okay, that's fantastic.
And I want to also throw this out there. We just had a great meeting with the commissioner of police, Jessica Tisch. And we are excited because we did a program in Staten Island, Summer Streets, where the police closed off four of the most dangerous streets in Staten Island, and they gave us the block, and we brought the party. Urban Hope and our network of churches brought the party, and it was so successful that it was the safest summer in the history of the precinct. And so now they're doing it throughout the city. So there were going to be hundreds, maybe dozens, I know, maybe hundreds of streets that will be blocked off throughout New York City this summer. And they're going to give you the block. So they need the church to bring the party. So communicate with us, and we're building towards this right now. But it's pretty exciting. But Chad, you've always said that excellence matters, even in a small outreach. How can churches take their outreach to the next level without needing a huge budget?
So, Dave, that's a great question. When you are looking at an event, you're not just looking at finances. It's almost broken over three things. You're looking at resources, and resources could be cupcakes. It could be arts and crafts. It could be whatever the volunteers have in their home and they can bring to the party. They could have some sort of game. They could have tables, chairs. You also need to have skill level, right? So at the end of the day, it isn't just finances. You need someone who can do face painting. You need someone who knows how to pray. Someone knows how to do balloons. We met this wonderful kid, Chris, and I just stick a balloon on the fence. That's my creative level. Chris comes along, takes like 300 balloons, and does this huge column around a tree. It looked like something out of Disneyland. It was incredible. You need your skill levels and then finances. But at the end of the day, for like $500, you could do a lot. And if you have 20 volunteers, that's just a couple of dollars. Or if you want to quantify it, that's just one or two Starbucks. I mean, the way coffee is so expensive today, I mean, that's just two Starbucks. Everyone just throws in two Starbucks and bam, you have a whole budget for your outreach.
Amen.
If you want to check out Chad's outreach checklist and a lot of these different great ideas, we have the Mission Week book available on the JesusWeekMovement.org website, but also in that book, it's an incredible resource because we've listed over 200 outreach ideas across categories like community service, creative arts, evangelism, health and wellness, outdoor adventures, and so much more. Chad, based on all of your experience that you have had doing all of these amazing outreaches with the Jesus Week Movement and Urban Hope, what are a few of your favorite creative outreaches that you've seen that really have made an impact in communities?
Mick, there was this one pastor, and she was talking about a vacation Bible school. And this pastor brought in her friend, and all he did, this is crazy, right? This person took a sock, just a sock, right? Stick some googly eyes on the sock and started talking to the kids. And I'm telling you, audience, the kids' eyes were twice the size. In their minds, this sock was alive. And this guy wasn't like an amazing ventriloquist. You could see his lips moving up and down. He just had like a goofy voice. But these kids were like drawn to the sock. And they were listening to how the sock was telling them about Jesus and how Jesus loves them. So to me, I'm like, how practical, just something simple like a sock, two googly eyes. That was very, very impressionable on me. And then, of course, us doing our events, going into the low-income housing communities of NYCHA and bringing literacy, teaching kids to read. I'm having a young adult, someone from the short-term mission, sitting under a tree, reading a book together. I read a sentence, you read a sentence. That was powerful. Drawing together, working on writing, playing games. The SYEP kids. These are kids that have come from the neighborhood and they are investing themselves into the inner city community, which to me is such a blessing that they're loving on these kids. And when they walk away and you hear their testimonies, they're like, you don't understand. I was that child. I was that child when I was six, but I didn't have someone like you. Now I can be that person. And you could see their eyes just glaze over with the tears of joy that they were able to impact another human being. So for me, those are very impressionable, Mick.
And you know, we've seen, Chad, that the high school students that we work with, even the older junior high school students, we're wired for love and to bring hope and to bring joy. That's the way we're wired. And a lot of kids, when we give them an opportunity to do that, they enter into, they experience the image of God flowing through them and they get excited. So there's so many opportunities here. But as we get ready for our summer outreaches, we want to make sure that all those that are listening know that we have never ceased for the last 10 years to provide hundreds of thousands, sometimes some years, millions of gospel outreach resources to churches, whether that's children's books, Max Lucado books, coloring books, Gospels of John. We have about 6 million in the warehouse right now in Spanish and English. Beautiful tracks that have been made, custom made for New York City and for our Philadelphia regions. And One Hope has provided about 10 million gospel outreach resources for children and for teens and for tweens. Anybody who wants to reach the streets, anybody who wants to do this, we'll supply you, we'll equip you with gospel outreaches. That's a miracle that God has done for our city and for the whole Northeast region. So please take advantage of it at JesusWeekMovement.org. Sign up and say, hey, I want to do an outreach, and boom, we'll set you up and we'll show you where you can pick up gospel resources.
So we're just about out of time, and this will be the last question, Chad. We're going to give you the final word here. But as we get ready to wrap up, we know that planning an outreach isn't just about setting up tents and bouncy houses and passing out the resources. It's so much more than that. It's about making sure that we truly hit the mark, bringing transformation into the hearts of those we're trying to reach and into the neighborhoods that need it the most. So, Chad, how do we make sure that our outreaches aren't just good events, but are true doorways for real lasting change? In other words, what's the spiritual strategy, the heartbeat we need to carry so that we don't miss what God wants to do?
Mick, that's a brilliant question. And for me, the answer is consistency. You have to be consistent. You can't just say, hey, I'm going to do a one and done show and never come back to that community. That community is going to open up to you, but you need to come back. And if you do a biggish event 4 times a year, 3 times a year, Easter, Christmas, something in the summer, then you're engaging. But if you've got like a day off or you've got a couple of hours once a week, once every 2 weeks, go down to that neighborhood from your follow-up and just go knock on those doors. Go and pray over those doors. You have to have prayer and consistency in those communities. And I guarantee you, I know people shouldn't use that word, but I guarantee you that community will fall in love with you. They will fall in love with you. You will be the Jesus in those people's lives. They will be seeing the light of Christ in you. And you know what? When things get rough for them, they're going to call you. They're going to call you and say, can you pray for me? Please, I'm going through XYZ. Can you pray for my mom? She's going through XYZ. Prayer and consistency will bring miracles. That I promise you in Jesus' name.
Thank you so much for being with us today. This has been wonderful. It's always a gift to learn from your heart and your strategy. And for those listening, if you're ready to take the next step in planning your summer outreach, visit JesusWeekMovement.org. Don't miss the opportunity.
So we've learned today that every outreach starts with a simple yes. And whether it's a prayer walk, a kids festival, or a full-scale block party, now is the time to start preparing for your summer events. So let's go build something beautiful together. Thank you again for joining us on the Jesus Week Movement radio show. And until next time, keep praying, keep planning, and keep pressing into transformation.